At about 10:30 East Coast time here in Boston, where we are, around 6 p.m. in Cairo, the tweet came. It was from one of the top opposition figures in Tahrir Square. It was a frowny face. It was a mistake. When we reached the gentleman who sent it by phone, he told us, "No, I'm happy. All our demands have been met." Soon after, State TV reported that President Hosni Mubarak will speak to his country tonight and expected he will step down. The mood in Tahrir Square has been both jubilant and tense because top military officials were also shown on State TV in a day-long meeting, and newly appointed Vice President Omar Suleiman was not with them. We reached the blogger known as Sand Monkey just a little while ago. His real name is Mahmoud Salem. Now, he's on his cell phone in a very noisy Tahrir Square. You have to listen closely.
People are in incredibly festive mood, but are incredibly anxious at the same time. We don't know whether this means Mubarak left the rule to the army, or if this actually means that the VP will take over, whether it's military rule or civil rule.
So festive but anxious, they don't know if this means military rule or civilian rule. Now, our opposition sources in Tahrir Square told us they were told that power would be transferred to the vice president. But it was a military official who appeared in the square to tell the protesters that their demands had been met, and a military official who appeared on state TV just a while ago to say the army had stepped in to safeguard the country. Khalid Fahmy is chair of the history department at the American University in Cairo. Professor, we've spoken before. What are you hearing today?
Through the media, I'm hearing that on Egyptian state TV, the army came out, a leading senior general came out to announce what was called the communique number one, in which he said that the army has been following events closely. It pledges to support people's demands, legitimate demands, and that it is saying that the Supreme Military Council in a state of constant session, a permanent session, and that further communiques will be issued.
And what did that mean to you that the army came out and made this statement? It is not Mubarak. It is not even Vice President Suleiman.
Yes, I think that was significant. This is something that Al Jazeera pointed out very quickly, that Mubarak, in his capacity as Supreme Military Commander, was not present in that council, nor was his vice president. The army is obviously poised to take over. I mean, not obviously. There's nothing really obvious, but I'm just surmising that it seems that the army now is poised to take over. The question to bear in mind is whether Omar Suleiman is part of that equation or not. In other words, whether the army has decided to take over, drop both Hosni Mubarak and Omar Suleiman and take over power. It's just not clear whether there is a unified army or the army itself is split. I don't think the army is split, except that maybe Omar Suleiman is not part of the picture, so to speak.
Well, we're reading on the AP that the military commander for the Cairo area told the protesters in Tahrir Square, all your demands will be met today. And we remember that the demands were not just that Mubarak hand power over, but that he leave the country. So there's that question. We're also on the Twitter account of Wael Gawam, the Google executive who's been sort of the face of the opposition. He tweeted, mission accomplished. So is your sense that, in fact, the demands are going to be met, that when Mubarak speaks, he'll not only be handing over power, but perhaps leaving?
No, I think this is with all due respect, this is an old question. This is not the relevant question. Mubarak is out of the picture. Mm. The question is who replaces him. Are we talking about a military coup? Are we talking about Mubarak delegating power to his vice president? He's going to leave. He's going to leave within hours. He's going to leave. The question is he going to leave and hand over power to his vice president? In this case, we have a civilian government, or is he going to leave and hand over power to a military junta? And in this case, we have a military coup. That's the question we're talking about now.
Professor Khalid Fahmy of American University in Cairo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And by the way, Wael Gawam, that Google executive who's become the face of the opposition and sent out the tweet, mission accomplished, just sent another one saying revolution 2.0, mission accomplished. So he's sticking by that. But our next guest says that other tweets have been flying out saying that his tweet is stupid, that the fears on the street are real. Joining us from Cairo, Shashank Bengali of McClatchy News. Shashank, we also heard the Egyptian professor voice his fears that we're between, or they are in Egypt, between a military coup and Vice President Suleiman, both a rock and a hard place. But explain, because we know the military in Egypt is based on a draft. Many people know people in the military, and that it's more than a military. It owns companies that make bread, for instance. And in the past few days, it seemed to be standing by the people.
That's right. Well, you know, the military is sort of the face of Egyptian nationalism. Everybody in Egypt knows someone in the military. It's had a reputation for being a force that has stood with the people. However, there are reports that the military in recent weeks has also arrested and beaten up protesters and activists. You know, and the military leadership include people like Mubarak and Suleiman, people who are viewed with great skepticism by the average Egyptian. So I think there's a big difference between the military, you know, boots on the ground, who the people recognize as their sons and their nephews, and then the brass, like Omar Suleiman, who people view as part of the ruling elite that's been the reason for this revolt.
Well, Shashank Bengali, again, of McClatchy Newspapers in Cairo, talking about reports that President Mubarak is going to speak this evening, a CIA official saying that he's expected to turn over power and leave. Is everybody galvanized to wait to hear this? What's the mood there?
People, I can see, are trooping back to Tahrir Square, perhaps to listen to the remarks broadcast live in the square. It's too early to say, I think, what the reaction is going to be. I think there's some skepticism just on Twitter alone right now about what Mubarak stepping down actually means, who's in charge. If the army is in charge and if the ruling party remains the main political force in the country without lifting the 30-year state of emergency, without reforming the constitution, I think a lot of people in Tahrir Square will not believe that the revolution has been accomplished.
This was the concern of the U.S., that there be time, that the Constitution be changed. And this was the threat of the Mubarak government, that if it moves too fast, they won't have time to make some of the changes. The protesters thought that was just a stalling tactic, but it now seems as if there are concerns.
The U.S., the Obama administration has been ratcheting up the pressure ever so slightly on Mubarak, calling for specific reforms by the government. And I think the government, I think the regime and Vice President Suleiman and others view this as a way to take some of the pressure off of them. If Mubarak steps down, the protesters no longer have that one figure that they've been pointing to. If he's gone, I think the ruling clique is gambling that this will take the air out of the protest movement and people will start to go back to their homes. However, from the U.S. standpoint, I think it puts the administration in a very difficult position. They don't have the support of the protesters because they weren't on their side throughout all this. And they may not end up with the support of the new regime because they have been putting more pressure on Mubarak in the last couple of days. So it may put the Obama administration in a very difficult position going forward.
On the other hand, there could be a plan in place to have the elections that the protesters are calling for and make the changes to the Constitution they've been calling for as well. That's Shashank Bengali of McClatchy Papers in Cairo. Shashank, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right, so if you've just joined us, we're in the middle of a breaking news story here. It's State TV in Egypt reporting that President Hosni Mubarak will speak to his people. Reports, including from the CIA here in the U.S., that he's expected to step down. But will there be reform to follow or a military takeover? A couple quick opinions before the break. We're with Dr. Farouk Elbaz here in the studio. He's an Egyptian, a professor at Boston University. He served in Anwar Sadat's administration. Professor, we're hearing that the road to the airport in Egypt is now closed. This is what Al Jazeera English is reporting. What are you hearing from friends?
There are some people that might want to hold the airport out so that Mubarak would not escape, quote-unquote, with his fortune. But it is the belief of people in Egypt, and from what I hear, that he has already recorded his message that will be read in a while, and he has already made some plans to go to Abu Dhabi now. Awesome. So this is, yeah, so to leave the country and leave it in peace.
Well, in fact, I mean, again, Al Jazeera Live is reporting the road to the airport has been closed. It could be to protect him on an exit as well, if in fact he is leaving. Let's bring in Rami Khoury, editor-at-large of the Daily Star newspaper in Lebanon, but currently a visiting fellow at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts. Rami, from your vantage point, what about all the concerns we've been hearing that this is perhaps not the democracy that the protesters and the opposition want, but a military coup?
Well, it could be. And when the Armed Forces Command issues memorandum or bulletin number one, that reminds me of the 1950s and 60s is what the Army used to do.
Communique number one, they call it, right?
Communique number one. That sounds ominously like the 50s and 60s. But the Army also has done a lot of things that the protesters have appreciated. And we have polling evidence clearly from Egypt and the Arab world that says the Army generally is held in high esteem by the people. People are critical of the secret police, the mukhabarat, the intelligence, and the police on the street who tend to be brutal. But the Army generally is held up in high respect by most people in the Arab world. So we have to wait and see. But something very important is going on here. You're getting the process of political change at the top being driven by populist activism on the street. And I think what you're also seeing is an extraordinarily important development, which is the return of the center of political gravity of the modern Arab world to Egypt and the Levant, where it had left about 20-30 years ago.
The Levant.
Egypt and the Levant. I mean, Egypt is at the fulcrum of Africa, the Middle East, and the Gulf area, and it is now the driving force of political change in the Arab world and will be for years. How this turns out, we'll have to wait and see. I think there's no doubt that there has to be a transition towards a more democratic system, but it'll be a democratic system that is defined by the three cardinal value systems of the modern Arab world, which is tribalism, Arabism, and Islam. How those three come together with Egyptian nationalism and the sense of citizenship and good governance is something that the Egyptians will work out. The Egyptians have 5,500 years of experience in running their society. They know how to run an orderly society. They have enormous dignity. They have tremendous values. What they've never had is what they are seizing for themselves now is an opportunity, perhaps, to define themselves free of foreign manipulation, free of Western threats and invasions, free of Israeli manipulation, and free of army control completely and military control. Hopefully they will have a chance to define their own system, and this is truly historic, but it's going to take time. This will take some years to play itself out. We shouldn't be in a rush.
Well, Rami Khoury, again, editor-at-large of the Daily Star in Lebanon, who's here in Boston on a fellowship at Tufts University. Rami, I want you to hold right there for just a second, because we're also speaking with Dr. Farouk Elbaz from Boston University. He has deep ties to Egypt. In fact, he was a science advisor to Anwar Sadat. And I just want to take a second to explain to people a little more of what the Egyptian military is like. It is a huge military-industrial complex. It's a military that sponsors several of the country's most popular sports organizations. They have factories that make bread. It's a corporation in addition to being a military. You're nodding yes.
Yes, indeed. The military in Egypt is a very powerful organization. It has gotten into the regular activities of the nation during Sadat's time to do things. And it has been, from day one, an organization that the country can depend upon.
Your brothers are in the military?
My brothers, my two older brothers were generals in the army. One was the head of the military college, and the other was the head of the artillery division of the army. And they were buddies of Sarwat Abu Ghazala, who was Minister of Defense. And so I know very clearly, and actually, my oldest brother was in the same college year in the military college with Hosni Mubarak.
But see, what do you say then to the criticism that the military balked at reforms? Because it gets very complicated, because the reforms were being undertaken by Hosni Mubarak's son, who apparently his idea of reform was to take some of the state-owned assets and give them to a friend. So perhaps that had something to do with the military balking. But that also gives you an idea of how netty it is, how tied up it is. How is that going to be teased apart in the coming
months? It is a very closely knit operation, and that is from way back from the time when Egypt was going to build the Aswan Dam, and the U.S., through the World Bank, pulled the rug from underneath that, and Gamal Abdel Nasser went to the people and he said, I will have the army build the high dam. And then the Russians came in to say, we'll help you. And they did. So from that day on, the army has been seen by the Egyptian people that it is the army is part of them, nearly every
holding on to the assets.
And they come in whenever there is a problem. The army gets in. For instance, this business of the bread. There was a problem with the distribution of bread, so the army went in and started some ones and did it. So the army is quite respectable. The army is quite dependable. And the army is fine as long as you keep them at bay, because they do not know policy and they do not know how to run things. But in their business, they're good.
Well, Rami Khoury, step in here again from the Daily Star in Lebanon. You wrote recently, and you're on the program, and a lot of listener response to your article about what we're seeing in Egypt being sort of an unraveling of the post-colonial false diagramming of this region. It's all, you know, sort of falling apart in what we're watching from Tunisia to Egypt. But just if you could stay for a second with the concerns that we're hearing from Egyptians in Tahrir Square, that they're afraid. They don't know which direction this is going. You just said we aren't going to know soon. But within the next few hours, what do you think we're going to see?
I don't think this is something that you should try to define in the next few hours. This is something that's going to take, I would say, weeks and weeks, and then probably months to play itself out. There's no doubt that the nature of the activism and the self-assertion that the many millions of Egyptian people have now demonstrated is going to impact on how this country is governed. This is a process that will take time. The military will almost certainly have to play a transitional role for a short period of time. The critical element to look for, I would say, in the next few days, literally in the next week, is will there be a combination of independent, credible, legitimate civilians and military people working together in a serious transition process? And will there be two elements in the longer run, meaning months down the road as the constitution is redone? Will there be civilian oversight of the military and the security services and civilian oversight of budget expenditures? Those are the two critical elements, the guns and the money. Who controls guns and money controls the country. Up until now, for 50 years, it's been the army and their front party. Now it's a different process that's opening up. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a process that will take time. You must see a temporary transitional role, a conditional role for the military, because it is such a trusted and strong institution, and it is very close to the Egyptian people. This is not a Praetorian Guard. This is a very populist kind of army. It's very important for the Americans and the Europeans and the Israelis to stay out of this process. What we're seeing, I believe, is nothing less than the first example of self-determination among an Arab citizenry. This is unbelievably historic if it plays itself out. If it gets crushed by a military coup, these people will come back again and again and again, and they will ultimately triumph. We've never seen a self-determinant Arab citizenry define its governance, its value system, its policies, and hopefully this is something we will see. This will be for the benefit of everybody, for the Egyptians, for the Arabs, for the Americans, Israelis, Europeans. Everybody will benefit from free and democratic and self-determinant Arab citizens. It's a process that takes time. It took 500 years for the Europeans to go from the Magna Carta to the French Revolution. It took 300 years for the United States to go from slavery and white men who owned land as the only people who could vote until everybody, women and blacks, and everybody had the vote in the 1950s. These processes take some time. So don't look at it in a couple of hours or days. But the process has started, and that's what's really important.
Rami Khoury again of the Daily Star in Lebanon and now a visiting fellow at Tufts University. We will continue to look at it just to bring you the news of what's happening. But as you said, maybe leave the interpretation for later. Dr. Farouk Elbaz, with us in the studio. He's at Boston University. I want to thank you both for your point of view. Thank you so much.
You bet.